Hope you had a fun holiday. Got a question for you. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? I'm not going to ask you to share them. Just want to know how many of you, just stick your, pop your hand up. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Okay, good. I heard somebody told me that they resolved to gain weight because that's one they can get real easy. That's pretty good, man, huh? That way you don't get disappointed. How many of you have kind of like given up on resolutions? Anybody else? Anybody given up on resolutions? How come? If I could just, I just want to know, you know, how come you quit making New Year's resolutions? Is there a reason? Never keep them. Anybody else say that? Yeah, you know, inevitably you break those resolutions.
Forget about them.
Okay. Forget about them. Okay, good. All right. Anything else? Any other reasons?
Set the goals too high.
Set the goals too high. Okay. Yep. Maybe it's because you found out what research has shown us. A British journal just released a study on January 2nd. And in that study, they state this, making self-improvement New Year's resolutions may be bad for your mental health and leave you feeling worse. I thought I had the... Did I have that on PowerPoint, Kev? Making resolutions, New Year's resolutions, may make your mental health worse. How's that? I like, this article, Detroit News cover. New Year, New Hope. Man, I wish hope could come with just the turning of a page. You know? Excuse me, the turning of a calendar. But it doesn't. And according to this journal, it says, we chastise ourselves for our perceived shortcomings and set unrealistic goals to change our behavior. So it's not surprising that when we fail to keep resolutions, we end up feeling worse than when we started. Making self-improvement New Year's resolutions often create a negative self-image and lead to feelings of low self-esteem, hopelessness, and even mild depression. I apologize, I've got a bit of a cold. In hope, we resolve to change. I mean, that's the motivation behind New Year's resolutions, isn't it? But inevitably, we revert. We just revert to our old default modes, don't we? And we lose hope for change as a result. That's why so many of you just gave up on New Year's resolutions. Because we just can't seem to follow through, can we? I like what wise Solomon said. Solomon said, no one can live with a broken spirit. It's those disappointments of life. The ways we disappoint ourselves, they break our spirits, don't they? We lose the will to try to attempt to change. We've lost our confidence in our ability to change. We lose hope for change. That's what keeps so many of us stuck in so many ways. Stuck with things that we know are unhealthy. Stuck with things that we know don't please God. We've lost hope. Hope for change. That's why some of you have given up on change. Have given up on a hope of a healthier, happier, holier you. Without hope, change seems impossible, doesn't it? Hopelessness brings paralysis. You can't start to change or sustain change without hope. Hence our series. Got hope? Seems like hope is in short supply right now, doesn't it? In fact, it seems like it's kind of becoming a pervasive, kind of a pervasive attitude in our area, hopelessness. You know, great example, finances. I mean, you might feel hopeless about changing your finances. Maybe they're a mess and they've been a mess for years, maybe decades. And you've not signed up for Financial Peace University that starts on Thursday night because you're hopeless about it. And your unbelief is driving you. How do I get hope when change seems hopeless? We want to look at that this day. You go to God. We learned last week, you go to God. You get hope from God. That's the advice of Paul, who had been written off as a hopeless case, but who demonstrated a dramatic, lifelong change. And his exhortation to the Romans, which is our theme verse for this series, reads as follows: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a packed statement, isn't it? And we just unpacked it in our Sunday morning Bible study. We're looking at hope for the next two Sundays from 9:15 till 10, right back in the coffee bar area. Hope you can join us for that. We just dig into the Scriptures and let God's Word school us. But that's our memory verse. That's our theme verse for this series, God Hope. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. Hope, real hope, comes from God. If you want hope, you've got to go to God. And that's our, you just get it from God. And really it explains, in part, why our New Year's resolutions on our own attempts to change, why they fail. Because God's not driving most of them, are they? In fact, I love what Job says. Job, wise man. And his buddy speaks to him. He says, those who forget God have no hope. Those who forget God have no hope. It's easy to place your hope in the wrong things, isn't it? Things that disappoint you, things that don't last, things that really aren't powerful. It's easy to forget God. Now, I wish, you know, was getting hope was so easy as turning over a calendar page. New year, new hope. We found out that's not true, is it? Amen. Frankly, most of us don't have any more hope than we did on December 31st. But God wants you to know that you can get hope, that you can grow hope, that you can grow hope for change. But so oftentimes we fail because we're calling the shots. We're forgetting God. We're the drivers of our change. We're living to suit our own selves. We're trying to control our own lives, making changes on our own. That's what a lot of New Year's resolutions are, aren't they? In doing so, basically we're trying to play God. And we're forgetting who really is God. So if you want to grow hope for change, if you want to get hope where you might be hopeless, here's the advice. Remember God. That's the next slide. Remember God. That's how you get hope for change. Should be next slide. Next slide, Kev. Thank you. Remember God. Write that down. Point one on your program. Simply remember God. I love what King David prayed. He said, Lord, when doubts fill my mind and when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer. Isn't that good? Whenever you feel like a hopeless case, remember God. Ask God to remove your doubt and renew your hope and your joy and your peace. David knew that he could go to God whenever he felt like things were hopeless, that things wouldn't change. Want renewed hope? Remember God. God whose presence watches over you, whose purposes are working in you, as we learned last week, and whose place is waiting for you. If you missed that message because you didn't make it here last Sunday, we've got CDs of it. Grab one. Or go to the website, discoverchurch.net, and download an MP3 form of it. But you can get caught up on that message. God wants you to have hope. And as we learned last week, He's Yahweh Shema, the God who is always with me, who's always with you. And that can be a source of hope all the time. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And so, some of you, you're feeling hopeless today. I don't know, it might be a prolonged period of illness unemployment, or maybe your finances have been a mess. Maybe you're stuck in a marriage that you think is never going to change and it's unsatisfying. I don't know what it is. But some of you today you're wrestling with hopelessness. You want Paul's attitude? How about David's attitude? Then you need to pray David's prayer. You need to connect with Paul's God, the God of all hope. You need to pray that prayer of David, Lord, when doubts fill my mind and when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me, God. Give me renewed hope, Lord, and give me cheer. You need to memorize that verse and make it your prayer. Make David's prayer your prayer. See, the first thing you need to know, and there are some truths that will comfort you. There are some truths that if you'll remember them, that if you'll remember God, He'll give you hope. And they kind of build on each other. And we're going to cover them today. And the first truth that you need to remember about God, the God who's always there with you, is this. God cares about me. God cares about me. Write that down. God loves me. I matter to Him. The Bible is very, very clear about this. Lamentations 3 says this. I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. His love never ends. His mercies never stop. God tells us through His prophet Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. Obviously, human love ends, doesn't it? We see it all around us. People fall out, in and out of love all the time. Right? How is it possible for God's love to never end? Because human love is conditional. And God's love for you and I is unconditional. And therefore, it never ends. He loves us not because of who we are, but because of who He is. God is love. He not just has it, He is it. And because He is it, you can count on Him. I love what David says in Psalm 103. He says He's like a father to us, tender and sympathetic. For He knows what we are made of. Dust. God knows what you're made of. He knows all the bad junk in your trunk. All the stuff you're hiding. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows it. And He loves you in spite of it. You see, so many of us are on this self-improvement plan to get to God, aren't we? If I just clean up my act, if I just, keep succeeding in these resolutions, maybe someday, God, I'll be good enough for God to love me. Here's the bad news. You're never going to get that good. Okay? That's like trying to swim from here to Hawaii. It's not going to happen. I don't care how good a swimmer you are. You can't get good enough to be accepted by God. That's why He sent Jesus. And He loves you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All your flaws, faults, and failures, He knows them. And He loves you in spite of them. And He wants to change you and free you from them. But it begins by remembering God. By going to God, He'll give you hope for change. See, God shaped us out of the dust. He made us uniquely in His image and likeness, didn't He? A likeness that we screwed up. We screwed up by trying to play God. The same thing that motivates most of us for New Year's resolutions alienated us from God. We wanted to be God, didn't we? Do our own things, set our own agenda. Live by our own rules, right? You know what? When we distorted that beautiful image, when we screwed up, God showed His care. He showed His care through His one and only Son, Jesus. That's what Paul says in Romans 5:8. He says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Nothing has ever said, I care more than Christ, who came to us, who was God with us, who gave His life for us to change us. The Bible says, if anyone belongs to Christ, he's a new person. The past is forgotten. And everything is new. God has done it all. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love the picture at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21. Jesus saying, "Behold, I make all things new." If you've lost hope for change, go to God. Connect to Jesus. Remember God and who He is in your life. Let Him be God in your life, because He is making all things new. So the question is do you belong to Christ? Have you yielded to His leadership in your life? Have you admitted your flaws and faults and failures and given up on the self-improvement plan as a way to get to God? Because it's a futile plan. That's why God sent Jesus. If you haven't, you can do that today. You can begin that wonderful, wonderful experience of partnering with God by just kind of, in a sense, giving up on the self-improvement plan and trusting what Jesus Christ did for you. Trusting that He was who He said He was. Admitting your flaws and faults and failures. Stop pretending about it. And invite Him to enter in and yield your life to Him. You can do that with a simple prayer just like this. And it might apply to you. Just something like this. Jesus, I thank You for showing God's care for me. And I recognize now that I just couldn't get good enough to be accepted. I've got a lot of flaws and faults. I've got some failures. I fail to do things God has asked me to do. I've done a lot of things He doesn't want me to do. For that, I'm sorry. And I ask that You would forgive me. And I thank You for paying the penalty for that when You died on the cross. Jesus, I want to go to You. And I believe that You're God. And I ask that You would enter my heart. Start to lead my life. From this day forward, I pray. Amen. That's a decision that will change your eternity. If you made that decision, you can let us know on the back of the Discover card. We're not going to ask you to stand up, come up front. We're not going to do that. We don't want to embarrass you. What we do want to do is coach you. And so that Discover card that is inside the program, the tan one, which I can't find right now, just let us know that. I've placed my trust in Christ today. Now what? We'll make sure that we resource you. You could stick it in the blue pouch when we close with that song. And we'll make sure to connect with you, because we want to see you thrive in your relationship with God. If you want to be hopeful, if I want to be filled with hope for change, then I need to remember that God cares for me. And I need to remember that God knows my situation. He knows my problem. He knows my pain. God knows the things that hurt in my heart. How's that possible? It's obvious. God knows everything, doesn't He? God is not only is He always with me, but God knows everything about me, even my hurts. Even my hurts. God knows your situation. That's what David said in Psalm 56. He said, "You know how troubled I am. You've kept a record of my tears." Now, Jesus says that God knows the number of hairs on our head, and I'm just making it easy for Him. Okay? But not only does God know the number of hairs on your head, it says that He's kept a record of your tears. Isn't that amazing? God knows your pain. Knows the pain over every tear that you've shed. Think about that. I mean, how many times have you thought that delusion? Nobody knows what I'm going through. Do you know that's a lie? Because God knows your situation. He knows the hurts. He knows the disappointments. Nothing is beyond His love. Nothing is beyond God's compassionate gaze. He's with you. He loves you, and He sees everything you've gone through and are going through and are going to go through. Up close and personal. He does know what you're going through. God does it. I love what David says. He says, "You've seen the crisis in my soul." God knows your heart. God cares about you. Some of you are in a crisis right now. God sees it. He knows about it. He cares about it. And there's hope for change if you'll go to Him in it. If you're in a hopeless situation, you just need to remember these things. God is always with me. God cares about me. God knows my situation. And number three, God has power I don't. God has power I don't. You heard the words of Fran this morning. God, you heard those words. I mean, think about it. Our son, which we could use a little more of right about now, our son radiates more power in 1 second than all of humanity will use throughout the history of humanity. 1 second. The sun uses more power than we all will throughout all of our existence. Think about that. And that sun that God made has enough, it has enough power to burn constantly for the next 30 billion years. And that sun is one of billions, billions and billions, to quote Carl Sagan, of like stars. Think about it. And God created all of them. Folks, God has more power than you can comprehend. You just need to realize that God has enough power for your problems. Because God's power is unlimited. It's unlimited. And because it's unlimited, there are two things that you can count on. Number one, God will never run out of energy. Okay? He won't run out of energy. The Word says that He never gets tired. He never gets fatigued. He never sleeps. God won't run out of energy. Number two, God never has rolling blackouts where His power is unavailable to you. Okay? It's not like, you know, okay, for the next 2 hours of your life, my power is unavailable. Because I'm redirecting it to this needy person over here. That's not the way it goes. Okay? God has enough power. And He has enough power for you as long as you're yielding your life to Him. As long as you're going to God. As long as you're remembering God for who He is. God of your life. A great example is Abraham. Here's Abraham, a guy who's 80 years old. Think about it. God tells him at age 80, your situation's going to change, Abe. I know that you feel like getting an heir is hopeless, but I got good news for you, buddy. In fact, I'm going to use your wife, your 80-year-old wife, to give you a child. And that child's going to have so many descendants that they're going to be... You're not going to be able to count them. They're going to be like the sand in this desert that you're walking across right now. Think about that. And I like the way that the Message puts it. It says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding not to live on the basis of what he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Isn't that great? Wow, I love that. Abraham chose to live on the basis of what God said he could do. Now that's a way to live with hope, isn't it? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "With what's impossible for men is possible with God." So you might think your situation is impossible to change. I want you to know that it's possible with God. That God has enough power for you. He's got power you don't. I mean, that's really one of the flaws of our own resolution thinking, right? We think, I'm going to do this with my own willpower. I'm going to take care of this thing, right? And we end up falling short. We need to remember God and let God be the driver on our change. Fact is, there are a lot of things in your life that you can't control. In fact, most of the things in your life you can't control, okay? Let's be honest about it. What does that mean? Does that mean that these situations are helpless, that you're hopeless? No! Remembering God is recognizing that you're helpless to change. You're helpless to change some things in your life. You're not powerful enough to play God. But if you remember God and let His Son Jesus lead your life, then you can have hope. Because God has power that you don't have. And I love what He says. For God is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purposes. That's one of the promises of God who's always with me. That He's always working in me, working His purposes within me. Now underline that word power, would you? Underline that word power. God gives you the will and the power. That's not the willpower that you mobilize on your own. That's not what that is. God gives you the will. It's a desire that comes from God. Great story, Don's story. About how Don quit drinking overnight, somewhat 30 years ago, Don? 40 years ago. Great story. He shared this with the Band of Brothers, the men's group, before. I mean, God, it was like God said, I'm going to be the driver on this, and Don, you're going to stop now. And he lost his taste for it. And God gave him the will and the power. That's a great story, isn't it? It's an inspiring one. God gives you the will. He plants that desire in your heart. And He gives you the energy to complete what He gave you the desire to do. That's what Paul means by this little verse in Philippians. You know, God can give you a power beyond yourself. In AA, they talk about recognizing a higher power. Well, the good news is that He has a name. And His name is Jesus Christ. He's not just a power, He's a person. And He wants a relationship with you. And once you get to know Him, you can live with a new sense of power. It's not just I gave my life to Christ and now I'm supposed to have new power. That's not what it's about. It's a moment-by-moment connection to God. You see, the only way you're going to know that you've got power from God is not just by being a Christian. I mean, you and I, we know lots of self-professed Christians who don't have any power in their lives, right? Let's be honest about it. Listen, what gives you power is being connected to Christ in a moment-by-moment basis. Let me give you a principle. It's a principle of the universe, okay? You see it in the lights. You see it in the musical instrument here. You see it in, it works with TVs and DVD players and vacuum cleaners and toasters, coffee makers. Here's the principle. Things work when they're plugged in, and so do you. Things work when they're plugged in, right? Jesus says, plug into me and you'll bear fruit in life. He says, no one can bear fruit unless they're connected to the vine, plugged into me. So it doesn't mean just saying I'm a Christian. I've trusted Christ for salvation. It's to be moment by moment, daily connected, daily plugged into Jesus as your power source, trusting in Him, going to Him, relying upon Him. When you do that, you get plugged in. And you'll find that you have the power that you need. Now you've got a basis for real hope. And now you've got power to change. And here's the next thing you need to remember. When you feel hopeless. Not only does God know me. Not only is He with me. That He cares about me. That He knows my situation. And that He has power that I don't have. But remember. God promises to help. God promises to help. He's promised to help me if I'll turn to Him. Psalm 119 says, I expect your help, for you've promised it. Isn't that good? I expect your help, for you promised it. Over and over and over, over 6,000 promises, God says, I want to help you. Imagine that. 6,000 promises in this book, promises to help you. You were not meant to go through life unplugged, folks. He's promised it. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that God cannot lie when He makes a promise. And He cannot lie when He makes an oath. These things encourage us. God's promises encourage us, don't they? They give us the strength to hold on to the hope that we have been given. Folks, it's been said that Moses led Israel, or Joshua led Israel, into a land of promise. Jesus leads us, or the promised land, I should say. Joshua led Israel into the promised land. Jesus leads us into a land of promises. It's found in the pages of this book. It's rich in promises. What God wants you is to mine those promises, to discover those promises, to bank on those promises, and then let His power give you the strength you need to change. You see, God is all about life change, folks. In the Bible, in Colossians, it says this. It says, "We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news." This is the same good news that came to you. This same good news is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. You see, when Jesus said, you gotta stay connected to me and then you'll bear fruit, He really means you'll experience life change. If you stay connected to me moment by moment, day by day, if you stay plugged into my presence, my promises, I want you to know that you will bear fruit. You will have the power to change and become who I want you to become. Everywhere, this same good news is going out over all the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Folks, change begins by going to God, by understanding God's message, His good news, all the principles, all the promises, understanding the person of Jesus, and by obeying the message with the power and with the grace that God gives. That's a resolution revolution, folks. And I believe that's what God wants for you and I. Now, I just want to provoke you with some questions that I think you need to ask yourself. Something I did this year. Rather than typically making my New Year's resolutions, I said, you know what, God? I'm going back to scratch here. Forget about me deciding to make a change that I'd like to make. I want to know, Father God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to change in Kevin McCarthy in 2009? And when I took time to consult God, He gave me a different thing. Broader, but it's something I can hang my hat on, something I can live by. So instead of playing God, I said, God, I'm going to you. I want to remember you. Remember that you're in charge. I know that you've got an agenda for my life. You want me to change. And really, I just want to become what you want me to be. So let me ask you, these are the questions that I think you need to ask yourself. What does God want to change? I mean, isn't that the better issue? I mean, there are things that you'd like to change, right? I mean, how many of you would like to lose a little bit of weight this year? I would. I'd love that. But I'm not sure that God wants that. I don't know if that God's like top on my list. I want Kevin to look more studly and good. Okay? I don't think God cares really about that too much, you know? He wants me to be healthy. That's the bigger issue. Right? God wants me to be healthy so I can be everything He wants me to be. What do you want to change? And God, why do you want to change that? Go and ask God that question. Second, what within me is getting in the way? What's getting in the way of the change? It might be my hopelessness. It might be my unbelief. It might be my own indulgence because I like to do something that God wants changed. Or my stubbornness or my laziness. I don't know what it is. Could be your fear. What's getting in the way? Because that you need to give over to God and let God get out of the way. He can do that. In fact, one of our prayers with our kids is this. We pray with our kids and we ask God's forgiveness for the things that we've done to disappoint Him. Things we've failed to do. We say, God, give me the want to. Give me the want to do the things that I don't want to right now that you want me to do. Give me the want to, God. And that's a prayer you can pray too. When you sense that God wants you to change something, you really don't want to do it, pray, God, give me the want to. That's what God did do with Don. Right? Give him the want to. What principles and promises apply? Listen, man, you need to mind this wonderful, wonderful book of 6,000 promises. You need to find them, memorize them, remind yourself of them, and stand on them. Also, whose or what kind of help do I need? You know, some changes you can't make by yourself, can you? That's why we've got a lot of groups out here, and some of those groups are support groups. Gary's Band of Brothers group, every other Tuesday. What a great group to keep guys from blowing themselves up with anger or addictions or adultery or spiritual passivity. Man, that's a great group. We've got Alcoholics for Christ every Thursday, Rick and Sue. They've launched that to connect people to that higher power, which is the person of Jesus Christ. We've got things like Mike Olmsted's men's, that Saturday morning Denny's group. They're going through that book, Let's Fight. What a great book that is. Got our women's groups. Got our sermon-based groups. Listen, you need to surround yourself with people that can encourage you. That can give you hope. That can challenge you and inspire you. What kind of hope, what kind of help do I need? Because most of us can't make these things by ourselves. The next thing is, what step does God want me to take? What next step? You see, God will always give you the strength and the grace that you need to obey Him, right? He never calls us to do things that we can't do. The point is this. If you want to succeed, simply find out what God's next step of obedience is for you and take that step. He'll see you through it. He promises to give you the power for that. So I just want to button up with this. If you're feeling hopeless about an area that you've failed to change, I want you to pray with me right now, would you? Let's close our eyes. Dear God, You know exactly how I've been feeling this week, this past month, this past fall, or this past year. You've seen the sadness, the confusion in my soul. Today, God, I want to turn it all to You. I want to go to You and turn it over to You again. Father God, help me to experience and to feel, to be aware of Your unconditional love. Help me, Father God, to remember that You know about my situation, Lord, and that You have the power to change me. You can change everything else about my life, God. Father, I thank You for Your promises to help me. Today, I want to take that step to getting healthy again, God. Jesus, I believe that You exist. I believe You love me and that I matter to You. And that You have the power to change me, so I yield my life to You afresh. In January here, 2009. Help me to trust in You. To stay connected to You on a day by day basis. To live in Your power. So I can become who You want me to be. Amen. It's a great story, isn't it? May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us know your names and needs in the Discover cards, and we'll be praying for you this week. If you need prayer for hope or for strength, we're available to pray with you at the end of our celebration today.
Rescued me and picked me up, a living hope of grace revealed, a life transformed in righteousness. Oh Lord, You have rescued forgiving me, You healed my heart and set me free from sin and death. You brought me life, You made me whole. Oh Lord, You have rescued me. rescue.